You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
I'm here.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
There's a flag down at the line of scrimmage as the pass is to an open Travis Kelce, who flings it back over to Tony. My goodness,
and I think it's coming back.
Number 19, offense.
The Rich Eisen Show.
To take away greatness like that, I mean, let us play the game.
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host, Chris Long. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That is correct. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's one of those three-hour shows that we could fill six. And there was a huge weekend in sports from week 14 in the National Football League being lit. Shohei Ohtani staying in Southern California to the tune of $700 million.
Paid that man his money.
Yes, indeed. The Dodgers will do exactly that. Also, the Los Angeles Lakers won the first in-season NBA tournament. And the NBA Cup, or whatever the heck they're calling it, they won it in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is also where, listen, let's just put it this way. There were more points scored in the first possession between the Lakers and the Pacers than the Vikings and the Raiders in Las Vegas. So, I mean, it was such a wild sports weekend. And we're thrilled that you're here. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Phone lines are already lit. The Overreaction Monday podcast, Chris Brockman and I will do that after today's show. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask have already acquired their guest for this week's What the Football on Tuesday. Dan Patrick will be their guest this week. And so, again, perfect timing for everybody who wants to talk about the NFL, which is, you know, everybody. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Rich, I'm great.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to see you.
Good morning, Rich.
And TJ Jefferson, how about Cowboys?
Here we go.
Yes. Gotta love it, Rich.
And one of the best things about this show, and I'll tell you in advance, not just Chris Long of Greenlight Pod being on the program, is that all of us, every last one of us, came in today lined up on sides. So that's going to be great. We'll talk about that. I know that's hashtag maybe. Were you lined up offsides?
Lined up offsides.
On offense? Yeah, okay. Yes. He's the Kadarius Toney of the Rich Eisen Show.
That is true,
something
actually.
We never thought we would equate Mike Del Tufo to.
Chris offsides and made him move back.
There you go.
I saw him and I was like,
we'll talk about that.
He checked with me first and then I was like, Mike, back
very good. We'll talk about all that on this program. Listen, folks, we're not one of those shows that starts with the Dallas Cowboys just because. We don't. We always line up on sides and talk about the top stories or whichever parts of the narrative we feel is worthy of being discussed first. We don't do the Cowboys just because. We don't do the Cowboys for clicks.
Yes.
I just have to say this to start this program based off of what I saw on Sunday night. These Dallas Cowboys are for real. They are for real. And anybody out there that feels that this is like the previous eras of the Cowboys, the Romo and the Dez caught it era, that's the height of the clapping era, and Jason Garrett there. And then Mike McCarthy comes to this team, and he's one of those guys that's kind of a retread that Jerry Jones desperately reached out to, hoping that some way, somehow, McCarthy can conjure up that Packers team that won in the building in Dallas. The only championship that's been won in that building.
I was there.
It was the Green Bay Packers and Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers over the Steelers. And hopefully McCarthy could be that guy, even though he was on the couch and we're supposed to be taking a look at all those kids who have all those newfangled schemes. Kellen Moore, for instance. We see Mike McDaniel is going to be taking the Dolphins into battle on Monday night. And McCarthy shows up and we see some of the same old, where the Cowboys are having trouble punching down on opponents that they should punch out easily, and crazy stuff happens at the end of games and issues with clock management and things of that nature. Right now, that team is not walking through that door in the Metroplex. What the Dallas Cowboys are right now, with Dak Prescott and this offense and that defense, and yes, that coaching staff, they are playing championship caliber football, and anybody out there that refuses to come to grips that this could finally be the year for the Dallas Cowboys, you best check yourself, because this could finally be that year for the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott is playing the best football of his life, period. CeeDee Lamb is playing the best football of his life, period. This defense keeps on taking the licking in the injury department. Stephon Gilmore played defensive player of the year of football last night. That pass rush playing the best football of their lives. The running game we were supposed to see, and we saw that in the first month and a half of the season. Hey, if I had told you in week 14 we would be seeing Zeke Elliott ball out for the Patriots, you'd be sitting here thinking, well, Cowboys certainly miss him. I mean, gents, Rico Dowdle?
Hit him with the Rico.
Is really playing good football. Tony Pollard isn't hitting the home runs every single time, but they don't need him to because the passing game is hitting the home runs. And what they're doing is getting this offense to second and three, and third and one, or first downs on second down, or first downs on first down. That's what the offense is doing right now. Ferguson, you're supposed to think the Cowboys were like, what are you doing getting rid of Dalton Schultz? This fella at tight end is terrific.
Dog.
And you've got to give it up with what you're seeing right now. And what they're doing is winning in AT&T Stadium 15 times in a row now.
Whew.
And Dak Prescott is an MVP candidate for sure. And I know how the Niners have been looking. And I do believe home field advantage means a ton. Because if you think the Niners are the Dallas Cowboys kryptonite, and I'm still one of them.
I'm one of them.
You're one of them, and you're Mr. Cape over there. And you better have them come into your house. You go into San Francisco's, I think, a different ball of wax. That's where crazy stuff might be able to happen again. But that's for down the road. As for right now, they took the Philadelphia Eagles apart last night. Apart. Yep. And part of the difference might be that the Cowboys forced three fumbles in Philadelphia. The Eagles recovered all three. And last night, the Cowboys forced three fumbles last night in what you would call plus territory on their side of the field. The Eagles were driving, and each time the Cowboys forced a fumble, they recovered it. Not just anybody fumbling. Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, DeVonta Smith.
Literally the three best players.
I will just give you, everybody keeps talking about the blueprint of beating the Eagles, right? Nick Bosa. Here's a blueprint. You get their three best players to fumble while they're driving in your territory, you're going to win a football game. Even when you give up a scoop and score to Jalen Carter, oh my God, that was one of the most freakish athletic things I've ever seen.
Big man fast.
He picked that football up like it was a handle and kept running.
Gone.
He had no one outrun by their line.
So Dallas even gave up a scoop and score, and won by 20. That's how well they're playing football. Here's Dak Prescott rightfully taking the victory lap humbly after the game.
It was big. We needed it. Let's not sugarcoat that. We needed that. Obviously, I've talked about it before. Mike talks about grabbing a huge chunk of confidence and moving forward. And being able to do that against a team like that here at home, place that we've had a lot of success at over the last 2 years, puts us in front of the division, right? Does? Tied? Okay. Yeah, but with a couple of games left on, with both teams, understand, as I've talked about, it's about us running our own race and you know, checking it out there at the end. But we got to turn the page quick, especially in this league, especially with where we've placed ourselves. I can't sit here and celebrate on this. This was our expectation of tonight, and we played to our standards. So now it's about doing that again next week.
That's right. Next week against the Bills in Western New York. That's going to be watchable. We'll talk about that later on.
That's what we describe.
And also got to keep chopping wood, as you say, because they've also, after the Buffalo Bills, the Dallas Cowboys have two more very difficult games at Miami and then home for Detroit, which definitely seems to be a shadow of its first half of the season self. But games get tougher, as we all know, as December ends and January gets closer. And then they finish up at Washington. If the Cowboys win out, and the Eagles win out, you know who wins the NFC East? The Philadelphia Eagles, because they have a better conference record. They'd have the same division record. They'd have the same record against each other, 1-1, the same division record. And they'd have the same records in those first two tie breaks, and then different places, because the Cowboys lost, by the way, to the Arizona Cardinals might cost them at the end of the day. Ooh. But the Philadelphia Eagles have a better conference record because one of those three losses was to the Jets. How about that? The difference would be that the Cardinals win against the Cowboys cost them in the conference record, and the Jets win over the Eagles did not cost the Philadelphia Eagles in the all-important conference record tiebreak. But again, for that's for down the road. For the moment, let's give some flowers also to the head coach, because he doesn't get any.
Zero.
He gets zero. I mean, you see the press conferences for Jerry Jones, and you'll see it in a second on the Roku channel right here. It's just a scrum. There's a million people around the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. Then you see Mike McCarthy's press conferences. There's like 10 people in there. Okay, what do you got to say, coach? And I think that's the way he kind of likes it. Maybe deep down he's like, I would like some flowers a little bit here. Again, let's not forget the gentleman who wrote that deep dive on Sean McDermott, Ty Dunn. He wrote for Bleacher Report. We had him on back in the day. He's the one who wrote that deep dive on Mike McCarthy massages and on Packers company time and him and Rodgers. Rodgers was basically changing the plays because he had no confidence in McCarthy anymore. And then when Jerry Jones reached out to McCarthy, McCarthy's like, I've studied every snap of the Dallas Cowboys offense. And then when you ask him that, he's like, man, I don't know that. And you're like, oh God, here we go again.
Well, fudge,
Mike McCarthy's going to take this team, and then he's going to have Kellen Moore on there, and then he's going to send Kellen Moore to Los Angeles.
Beat it.
And then he's going to take over the play calling himself, just as they turn things over to him. They get rid of Zeke. Like, how the hell is this going to work? Who's going to play wide receiver outside of CeeDee Lamb? And is he really even the number one wide receiver that he thinks he is? And is Dak Prescott, can he really be the guy under Mike McCarthy? The answer is yes, 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 hell yes. Seriously, this guy has taken on the added responsibility and is killing it. And don't forget, too, they kept Dan Quinn. He's supposed to be the coach in waiting, right? How's he going to coach with this guy up in the booth dominating on the defensive side of things? And Mike's just the caretaker, right? He's killing it, guys.
Yeah.
Some of these offensive plays are just lit up. And let's not forget again this week, he had his appendix removed in an emergency procedure in the middle of the week. And that's what Jerry Jones wanted to talk about, referring to him as El Cid. Check it out.
I never thought, you may remember the story of El Cid when he got mortally wounded and it looked like his troops were going to quit because he wasn't going to lead them into battle. And so they strapped him on that horse and ran him down to the beach called El Cid. Well, old Mike was strapped on a horse going down that beach tonight, and I called him El Cid before the game. But really, he just wasn't going to have it any other way to step out there and not even play and make that game and do all the physical things it take. And I'm sure proud of him and the messages that those nuances that make really a part of making great coaches. So I'm so proud of him. I'm for him. I'm proud of the staff. And that's a big, big victory for the franchise tonight.
All right. So a couple things here. Yes or no? TJ Jefferson, yes, when you heard him say he was El Cid, do you think he was referring to Cid Fernandez? Yes or no? Real quick.
Just off the top of my head, yeah.
All right. No, it's El Cid, C-I-D, who, for those who might want to know, was a Castilian knight and ruler of medieval Spain back in the 11th century.
not a big left-handed pitcher for the Mets.
No. Not from Hawaii.
No.
No.
That was my second
thought.
Not part
of the champion Mets. Do you think Mike McCarthy knows who El Cid is? The former toll taker there in Western PA? Doesn't matter.
I said, is he talking about Sid
it
Finch?
It doesn't matter.
Sid Finch.
We will remember this day.
Sidney Dean?
We will remember this day as either the high water mark for the Dallas Cowboys because they might trip up, not get the one seed, go to the playoffs, and fall short of the NFC Championship game again. Or the moment we remembered the Cowboys truly did beat a team of significance, went on a nice run, made an NFC Championship game, maybe even the Super Bowl, maybe even won it all. And then remember the day that Mike McCarthy proved, maybe forevermore, the only thing holding him back was his appendix.
It was tying them down.
W-A with appendix, Mike McCarthy, or W-O-A, whoa, Mike McCarthy.
Whoa. 1-0.
Without appendix, 1-0. Mike McCarthy, look out.
1-0. He's 1-0. Never lost the game.
Never lost.
Without it.
Undefeated, minus his appendix. And so the Dallas Cowboys have a shot at the one seed now in the division, whereas if they lost last night, they wouldn't have. And as for the Philadelphia Eagles, right now, currently, technically, in a wild card spot. Again, if they win out, they still win the division. They would be the 2 seed, assuming that the Niners would have the same record as them, if not better. The Niners, we'll talk about them later. They've got a great setup for the final 4 weeks of the season. Philadelphia Eagles, for the first 2 months of the season, you're like, well, they're winning games when they don't look great. They don't look like last year's team, but there's still time. Still time. And then they go in that very difficult stretch of their season with just one loss. And the difficult stretch of their season was right before the bye. Home for Dallas, then a bye, then at Kansas City, home for Buffalo, home for San Francisco at Dallas. And then that 6-game stretch finishes up on next Monday night at Seattle. And they beat Dallas and they beat Kansas City in games where it looked really dicey for them. And they survived. And that happened home against Buffalo as well. And for some reason, this team was having struggles still, but coming up with wins against the most quality opponents you could name. Truly. And we were calling them in. If you can call a team that damn near won the Super Bowl last year, plucky. But they were overcoming and winning those gritty games, right? There's no pictures in the standings type wins. And now with back-to-back smoke show, smoke job losses, blowouts to the teams that are right there with them in the race for the one seed in the NFC. And are the teams that you would have to figure are the ones they will have to get past to get back to the Super Bowl. And losing at home to San Francisco in the manner in which they lost, and then losing at Dallas in the manner in which they lost. They've gone from plucky to lucky. Lucky to have had Dak step out of bounds in Philadelphia. Lucky to have gotten 3 fumbles recovered by them in that game. Lucky to have Marquez Valdes-Scantling have a clear go-ahead touchdown late in that game, if not a game winner, go right off his hands, a perfect dime from Mahomes. Lucky to have had that happen. Lucky to have come back from a 10-point deficit at halftime in that game. Lucky to have come back from a 10-point deficit against the Bills, because the Bills had figured out everything on their offensive side of the ball. Where, again, in the first half in Kansas City yesterday was the latest in that narrative that they've fixed their offense and Allen looks like Josh Allen. That guy showed up in Philadelphia and threw one way and Gabe Davis went the other way in overtime. And had they connected, the Eagles were going to lose that one, and they were lucky that that happened and that the Bills defense allowed a touchdown for Philadelphia in the ensuing possession, and lucky that Philadelphia won that game. Now, we're calling them lucky to have a 10-3 record. And I don't know how you fix what's going on there. I mean, obviously, if Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith don't all fumble and they don't lose the fumbles, might have been a different, what, margin of difference? I don't know. Would it have been a different game? I think so.
It didn't feel like Dallas was going to lose that one, but, you know, it might have been a little bit closer.
They have an opportunity to pull it out in a plucky fashion again.
Yeah.
But the team that was dominant last year has yet to walk through that door this year with consistency. And now they've got to go to Seattle to take on a Seattle team that does appear to be beatable, but you never know up there in Seattle. Certainly since Dallas was lucky that Seattle had trouble or didn't have a brotherly shove play of their own on those fourth and shorts that they couldn't convert on that first Thursday of week 13. But that's a Dallas issue. This is a Philadelphia issue, and they do not appear to have the back end of the defense and the front end of that defense working together well enough to stop an opponent that has an offense that can get going. And Seattle has shown that to be the case. This is Jalen Hurts after the game on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think there's a number of things, right, when you think about why isn't something operating in the fashion of maybe we expected to or, you know, may expect it to. And it's just all about controlling the things that we can. You know, you want to be disciplined. You want to operate in a high manner. You want to eliminate penalties and obviously produce points and get stops, turnovers, and do things like that. But, you know, this is something we're going through, not necessarily stuck in. And that's something that I believe in. You know, we have to be able to learn from it, and we will. It's an eagerness to just continue to press on.
I like it. It's a way through, right? There's a way through, not getting stuck. I do love the way he speaks and leads. He's not playing very well right now. And the run game is not just stiff-arming people, and the drops and all that is an issue for this team. But there's four games to go. After the game at Seattle, there's a ton of winnable football games for the Philadelphia Eagles. They play the Giants twice, and Arizona comes to their house. And I would assume they saw what happened last time Arizona visited Pennsylvania, and like, that's not happening on the east side of the state, I'll tell you that. And all they got to do is win those four football games. They get the 2 seed, maybe the 1, and then we'll see what happens when people have to come to their house. And let the chips fall where they may after that. But this stretch of 6 games, very difficult. They are 3-2 in them, and if they won't go 4-2 in it, I promise you they'd have signed for that after week 8, going into week 9. So there's that. But it doesn't look very good for him right now. 4 games to go. It's anybody's guess who wins the Super Bowl, and I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Chiefs and the Bills and what happened at the end of that game next. And then with you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial with Chris Long and our number 2. Ohtani making a mint. Zach Wilson is back, baby.
Words you never thought you'd say.
Words I never thought I'd say. And of course, the Niners look terrific. All that's still to come.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day.
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets, but I did ask for help. And Covenant House was there for me.
For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there. To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
How are you feeling over there? You good? Hold on a second.
Hold on. Yeah.
What's going on over there, Chris? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
Turn Cage just landed. They're back.
Yeah.
They're back.
So my solo adventure for the last 5 days is
How'd that
over.
Work out for you? Good. And TJ, you good over there?
Good. I'm great, man. Like, what a
feeling good.
Because I got to be honest with you. That game had me on the edge of the couch, but it was a game I really thought that we were going to win. So I was happy with the outcome.
Where'd you watch?
I was at home.
ATC?
At the crib.
By yourself?
Solo. I can't watch Cowboy games with other people, man.
Really?
I'd rather not.
We've never seen that, TJ, have we?
Like crazy.
Yeah, like you can't watch a game with other people.
Well, I went to the Rams-Cowboys playoff game with TJ a few years ago.
That was in the Coliseum, huh?
Coliseum.
And you got TJ dressed.
So I got the full experience. You were in the cape and the mask.
What?
There was a lot happening that day. A lot happening.
Cape?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you don't remember, Rich?
The cape.
Oh, we got pictures.
He had like the Cowboys flag cape.
You know, this joint right here.
Yeah.
Okay, so right.
This
and the mask. What mask?
I got a cowboy, like, Lucha Libre mask, so I wore that.
Yep.
I was
like, he went Nacho Libre to the game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
And Dez jersey or Zeke's jersey?
I think it was a Zeke jersey.
Yeah, and jersey.
Yeah. And not only that, we had to take the train to get to the game, too.
Yeah.
So
that's how you took you were around other people.
I wore the mask.
Well, I mean, there's 100,000 people.
After the loss, getting back on the train, sad TJ in the cape.
I left the mask on, but as I told Chris, there was a little baby there that kept looking at me. Yeah. So I was playing peekaboo with him the whole way home, and he was laughing, so it made me feel a little bit better.
When was it? That was like six, seven years ago.
Yeah, it was like 18.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network with our Roku channel live stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, folks, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Okay. The Chiefs and the Bills, everybody. Let's talk about that game.
Let's do it.
And how it ended. I'll just shoot everyone straight. I always do. Was Kadarius Toney offsides? I mean,
yeah, clear as day, that was
quite a finish here, because this game is tied at 17, and Kadarius Toney and this Chiefs team had done their up and down offensive thing. And then we see Travis Kelce wide open and makes one of the most incredible heads up plays that I've seen. Flips it to Kadarius Toney for a go-ahead touchdown. And I was wondering, is this thing planned? Did he see it? Like, what a bag of tricks moment for a Chiefs team that needed it, because this was the moment where Kadarius Toney is going to have redemption. And it's been 14 weeks of redemption since the, you know, Kadarius Scissorhands game of week one in front of the whole country on NBC. And that started the whole narrative of Mahomes doesn't have the weapons, even though that was the narrative all previous season and they won the Super Bowl in it. And a whole 14 weeks of receivers dropping passes, with receivers running routes at the wrong depth. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is just spend a minute in the all 22 world looking at the Chiefs route running, and you'll see it. Now, Kelsey's not that guy. And also, Rashee Rice has been the one receiver that is just like, I'll be there. And I'm not only just be there for you. I'm going to be there with consistency and get better each week. And he even scored a touchdown yesterday as well. With a beautiful on a beautiful route run in the back of the end zone.
He's been good.
Yeah.
And so here's Toney in the end zone, and they're up 24-17, and a defense that is championship caliber and had shut out essentially Josh Allen in the second half after the team fell down 14-0. They are going to win this game in Arrowhead. And this is going to be the moment for the Kansas City Chiefs that we'll all look back and say, they got this after all in the AFC. And then Carl Cheffers, the head ref there yesterday, who is a four-letter word to a lot of Chiefs fans. He was the guy who, if you recall, I believe last year when Chris Jones had one of the most remarkable sack, force, fumble recoveries, was ruled to have roughed Derek Carr because he had the temerity of placing his body weight on top of Derek Carr. And then one of the reasons why he might not have been able to avoid the full body weight from landing on Carr is because he was too busy having one hand with the ball on it.
Right.
And in it.
That was insane.
One of the most remarkable feats that you've seen, athletic feats you've ever seen on a football field wiped out. And now here comes Sheffers to wipe out one of the most remarkable heads up, wild or planned, exciting moments that the Chiefs have given us out of a whole 6 years of them. Wipes it out with the words you rarely hear, offensive offsides. Wipe it out. And you could see the Chiefs were just reeling from that. And then the Bills defense took it from there. And that's all she wrote. Now then, was Kadarius Toney offsides? 100% he was offsides.
No doubt.
Should they have called it? Well,
I mean, it's a penalty.
Should they have called it? Should they have called it? Should, again, like as Mahomes said afterwards, did it materially affect the play? And that's kind of beside the point when a foul is a foul. So you could say, was it a penalty? Yes. Should they have called it? Should they have let it go? Certainly when you've seen other things let go. Sure. Did they win the Super Bowl last year with the same conversation surrounding a penalty in the last throws of the game? Yes. It's amazing how we're having this conversation involving the Chiefs again. Because Bradberry, was that a flag? Was that a penalty? Yeah. Should they have called it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you overlook it? Because sometimes you can. They didn't. And Bradberry said after the game, I did it.
Yeah, that's true.
And after this game, I mean, Mahomes, I've never seen him this hot.
Man.
I've never seen him lose his mind like the way he lost his mind on the sideline and at the official who threw the flag. He was so furious that one of the most straight up humans you'll meet in the game, in terms of good people, in terms of just being in the moment for someone else. He's one of the kings of being in the moment for someone else. When he saw Josh Allen, with whom I am assuming he has a terrific relationship, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they win golf outings together?
Yeah, the match, sure, right?
But okay. I mean, he just went up to him and he just said to him, one of the worst calls I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And like, Allen was probably deep down going, all right.
Like, cool, bro.
Okay.
Cool story, bro.
We'll chat later. Good story. Like, see ya. He just won one of the. Did he need that win, Josh Allen, in the worst way? Yeah. Like, what's he supposed to say? I hear you. Yeah. Yeah. No. No.
Let's, man, what
can I do to help? Like, no.
That's a shame.
He was that hot. Voice. Like, he couldn't. He was so out of his skull, angry. And then you want to talk about uncharacteristic? Andy Reid after the game, he's like the king of times yours and. No excuses. He had this to say about that call.
It was a heck of a football game down to the end. Very disappointed that it ended the way it did. And normally I'll get, I never use any of this as excuses, but normally I get a warning before something like that happens in a big game. A bit embarrassing in the National Football League for that to take place.
I mean,
wow. If you put it out one more time again, and then the business about not getting a warning, you go back and forth. I hear, that he did ask for heads up and the official didn't tell him you're offsides. And then, Carl Sheffers after the game said he was blocking the football. He's offsides. And, you know, to the point as well, not to just rub any salt on it, because I just love this team and this organization and those who root for it. The right tackle, Juwan Taylor, he's lined up again improperly. Like, he's not properly lined up. Like, that's an illegal formation to begin with. Like, when talk about it, like, that offensive line, the way that they are lined up is like the inverse of the arrowhead tip of the spear that they're on top of. Like, your line isn't supposed to look like your logo.
Yeah,
he's been doing that all season, and that's been part of the problem with this team. Are the tackles aren't very
up to snuff like their usual
team, and the receivers aren't either. And he's been called for it before. There are, and we'll get to this a little bit more in a second. But I don't blame Mahomes for just being livid. This was Mahomes after the game as well.
I mean, it's obviously tough to swallow. Not only for me, but just for football in general. I mean, just to take away greatness like that. I mean, for a guy like Travis to make a play like that, and who knows if we win. But as I know, as fans, you want to see the guys on the field decide the game. And that's why last week I didn't say anything about the flag. They didn't get called on the Marquez. And so, I mean, they're human, man. They make mistakes. But, I mean, it's every week we're talking about something, and all I can do is go out there and give everything I have, and I'm proud of the guys because that's what we did, and it was a great football game that ended – another great football game that just ended like that. It's just tough to swallow.
And then he had this to say about Kelce in particular moments later.
And like I said, man, that's a Hall of Fame tight end making a Hall of Fame play that won't be shown because we threw a flag on front offensive offsides. And so it takes away from not only this game and this season, but from a legendary career that Travis has had. And, I mean, that hurts me because I know how hard he works for it.
All right. So that because I always shoot straight here and I love this guy. God, do I love you, Patrick Mahomes. That makes no sense.
None.
Kelce's going to the Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, if they show some sort of tribute video, you know, still include the play. I mean, you know, it's still amazing. And, yeah. But here's what I think is happening. And again, I'm not in his head. I don't profess to be in his head. He just sounds instead of, you know, blaming the receivers, he's yelling at the refs. And what he's yelling at the refs is through his receivers. Like, what the hell is going on here? Because he will never do that. He'll never call out his teammates. He will never yell at his teammates in front of anybody. But I think it's just like, I know what you say he should, but he's still the leader of this team. In the same way we had Mike McDaniel on last week, and he said one of the things he's learning as being a head coach is that when he's in his own head and he looks up, somebody walks by the office and waves to him, and he just stares at them, and it's not like he's being rude to the person who waves to him when he's walking by the office. He's just in his own head, and he realizes, like, that person now thinks that he's angry at them. You know what I mean? Like, so body language and words matter. Yep. And he's now like, you know, I need to be a lot more, you know, personable. Body language and words matter. Can he take these guys aside? Sure. But in the moment, he's got to be sitting here going, this guy again? And this is why the Giants essentially handed them somebody as talented on the field as Kadarius Toney, who they used a first-round pick on. They're like, you take him. And part of the reason why is, I imagine, stuff like this. He's not on sides. And did the refs call it at the worst possible time against the Chiefs? Yes. Did the Chiefs get a call going their direction last year in the Super Bowl that couldn't have been called if the ref didn't want to, because he could have called it a million other times, or she could have called it a million other times? Yes. Did they win a Super Bowl because of it? No, they still had a great game around it, in the same way that the Bills had a great game around it, in the same way that the Chiefs had a poor game around it, too. And I think this is Mahomes being angry about what is happening around him.
I agree with you.
And sounding irrational when something like this happens. I think they broke Mahomes. It broke Mahomes for a split bit. For the season, I doubt it. I don't think so at all. But for the moment, it broke him, and he snapped.
Yeah.
And in a way, I don't blame him. And one other thing, too, that I think will come out of this is that he's tapping in to the anger that we keep talking about around here. Is fans pissed about the officiating this year and the number of times it keeps cropping up. Now, was this a proper call? Yeah, the guy's offside. Like, he's offside.
So egregious. Yeah.
And Carl Cheffers, after the game, met with a pool reporter, and we have on the screen right here, and saying that, yeah, like, ultimately, if a receiver looks for alignment advice, certainly we're going to give it to him, but ultimately they're responsible for wherever they line up, and certainly no warning is required, especially if they're lined up so far offsides where they're actually blocking our view of the ball. So we would give them some sort of a warning if it was anywhere close, but this particular one is beyond a warning. And so if you're just barely, that's the part that also makes no sense. Just like, if you're offsides and you're looking for, am I on sides? And the ref's like, you're not. Then, or no, or move back. Then the guy will realign. But only if, like, what? You're now making a judgment as to how offsides you are, how far you are. Like, if the dude asked for advice and you're not going to give it to him because he's so, it's terrible.
He's like 2 feet offsides.
But that makes no sense. Cheffers' answer made no sense. So now it's like, yeah, we'll give you advice, but not unless you're really offsides. Then you're on your own, which they should be to begin with anyway. It's just, again, another gray area that I'm telling you, Mahomes is tapping in. You remember when Brady tweeted out during a Thursday night football game about how many holding penalties there are, and then poof, holding penalties disappeared. This is going to be the opposite. Mahomes is the face of this league, giving voice to, here we are again. Now, I don't think he's in the right here.
Yeah.
But the whole concept of him saying, last week, I didn't say a word when Marquez Valdez-Scantling was wearing a Green Bay Packer cape at the end of the game, and we didn't get a call. And this time around, I'm snapping because enough's enough. I believe, again, the enough's enough is him having enough of his receivers in large part letting him down. And the enough's enough, I think fans will take again to say, what is happening with officiating this year? Because it feels off and different. And so we'll see how that plays out. Yeah. Let's take a break. I want to give the Bills a little bit of a conversation. Phone lines are lit. Chris Long's coming. Back on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment. All right, folks, let's talk about game time and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So game time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on game time in seconds with two taps, and there's a game time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, game time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with game time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day.
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Grammer. Wounded Warrior Project supports injured veterans by connecting them with fellow warriors, by serving them through mental health and wellness programs, and by empowering them to live on their own terms. No one should face a battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
What is the furthest you've ever thrown a football, Josh?
The furthest was in Wyoming, so I did get a little assistance from the elevation.
Yes.
But it was right around 83 yards.
Right around... right around 83.
Yeah.
Are we rounding up or are we rounding down to the 83, Josh?
We are probably rounding up just a little bit, but yeah, 83 was that was the number.
So, I don't know. I'm looking up to see if you're playing in Denver at all so you can play, you can get a little bit of some altitude. Can you do that in an NFL game, you think?
I mean, there was one game, I think it was my rookie year against the Dolphins. I threw a ball dang near as hard as I can, and my receiver was 60, 70 yards downfield, and I overthrew him just by a little bit.
you airmailed him.
I did, and that was just one of those, like, I didn't feel like I threw it as hard as I could, but my hip fired so hot, and it just came out of my hand extremely well, and it was spinning, and it was a little warm in Miami, so it might have flown a little farther, but it was just one of those that just kind of even... blew me off guard. So something I've toned down a little bit, though, and I feel like I've got a little more control on my ball right now.
Oh, understood. No, accuracy is something that you definitely have improved on, as we have seen. So let's just walk me through this. At some point during a game in your career, let's just say it could even happen this weekend against New England, where you have to throw a Hail Mary to win it. At what yardage do you say to your coach, I still got this. Give it to me. Your own what? Your own what?
We're like, I know I can get the ball in the air and get it probably a good 4 or 5 yards even in zone, probably around the 35.
Your own 35?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, you're probably going to have to avoid a rush a little bit, even if they're coming at you with 3-man. You're going to have to roll out a little bit. So right around your own 30-something yard line, you can get it in there. You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Unbelievable. Josh Allen, all of his appearances are on our YouTube page. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app, including both games tonight, by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platform. Get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. All right, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We've got 2 more hours coming. Don't worry. We're going to get to every single phone call that of everybody kind enough to phone in. I want to talk about the Buffalo Bills. It sure seems like they have fixed their offensive problems. And I know Gabe Davis fantasy players are like, okay, Rich, full Blue Tarski yesterday.
Well, he was wide open and Allen missed him.
But listen, it feels different, doesn't it? Like the Josh Allen that's tough to sack, tough to stop.
It's back.
The guy who will run it down your throat. The guy who will make crazy plays is still there. Like I just wanted to make sure when they switched from one offensive coordinator to the other one, that the risk taking Allen still had to be in there. I understand the number of interceptions he's thrown this year. I don't care, and I know that has ultimately washed onto the shores of their loss column. I get it, but he's a special guy. Don't take away the things that make him special, and they haven't. And you know, now they're calling his name inside the 10. You know, they shoved him in the end zone, right in Arrowhead, to go up 14-0. That throw he made to James Cook, the ultimate one, where he's extending the play on 3rd and 9 in the fourth quarter of a tie game, and he's about to be, you know, sacked, and he gets away, and he keeps on moving and moving and moving to his left, meaning against the grain of his body. And before he goes out of bounds, he flips it and floats it to Latavius Murray over the defenders for a guy on the run. He hits him like practically in stride. Murray had with his back to the defense, did corral it, and then eventually fumbled it, and that actually led to a review and all sorts of craziness when the ball went out of bounds. But it did give the Bills a fresh set of downs. They didn't score there because the Chiefs' defense sacked them a couple times. And then Allen got the points necessary to take the lead, and then they got the break of Tony being offsides. And despite some weird clock management from Sean McDermott again, which was going to play into the narrative of everything that had happened there this past week, of him being tight during games, everything that came out, the writer Ty Dunn in that 3-part deep dive on McDermott getting tight at the end of games, and everybody feels his tightness, and that's why the Bills lose a ton of games at the end. They came out with the win this time. And I will just say this, on behalf of the rest of the American Football Conference, do not let this team get into the tournament.
Make it. Yep.
Do not let them make it. Now, they will depend upon the hottest team in the NFL alongside the 49ers and the Cowboys to beat them. What a Week 15 game that is. Holy smokes. Because the Bills have shown up in the manner that we have been used to seeing them. And then if they get past that game and are 8-6, it sure looks like Easton Stick is going to be coming their way to Western New York with the train whistles and the mafia and the, you know, and the tables, you know, pardon me, they're coming to Los Angeles, they're coming out here to Easton Sticks country right here. with the mafia and the tables, and everybody's going to come west.
Nice Christmas vacation, dude, in L.A.
I'm telling you, because today, at this moment, Justin Herbert is getting his broken index finger looked at by, or his hurt index finger looked by specialists.
Yeah, he said he couldn't grip the ball. Dude, that's why I didn't go back in the game.
I don't believe we're going to see him the rest of this year, unfortunately.
He's already out.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not playing on TV, whatever. And then they're home for New England at Miami. Do not let the Bills get in this tournament. That is going to be the seventh seed or the sixth seed. You don't want to see. What, do you think Jacksonville wants them to show up?
Oh.
You think the Chiefs want them again? Maybe they do. I don't know. The Dolphins, they might have to play them in back-to-back weeks, week 18 and week 19. Because the Dolphins have a tough stretch. You think the Ravens want the Bills in their house? They want a piece of the Bills? The Rams showed up there yesterday and looked terrific.
Yeah.
And the Ravens' defense coming off a bye.
Stafford's been balling.
Kyle Hamilton got hurt. But, you know, Nacua and Kupp and Kyron Williams and Stafford almost won that game. I'll tell you this,
Puka's
folks.
Amazing.
Puka do is not amazing. Let the, that is the message. Do yeah. not let this Bills team in the tournament.
You're right. Don't let them do it, man.
Because right now, you could make the case they are playing the most consistent, tough-nosed, tough-to-stop football in the entire conference. Certainly out of any team that's not a division leader. That's for sure. You could state that case.
Well, they get the best player, for sure, out of
He's
all those teams.
Unbelievable. The Josh Allen Mandalorian quarterback coming for your soul every snap has arrived in 2023 and just in time. We'll talk about that with Chris Long and you on our phones coming up. But
looks like the Browns are going to make it. So we got six spots for two spots for six teams. Six teams fighting for two.
I
spots.
Mean, there's a ton of that, and we have the rest of the week to talk about it. But I just feel like the Bills are for this past week with what was going on for them to come up with this win. Certainly, in the manner in which they came, a close, tight game for their head coach is supposedly too tight to win in those situations. Although what he did with DeMar Hamlin last year was spot on. Everything else that's in you read in these articles, it's like it's amazing he had that gene in him. But I guess he is human when it's all deep down. The Buffalo News headline it sums it all up. Shake It Off was their headline.
That's a song, right?
Who sings that?
She was there. That's two straight losses.
The mush.
Nah, stop it.
Kidding.
It's more mushy.
Rich, you remember a few weeks ago, and Chris, you too, where there were little rumblings of people saying maybe Josh Allen isn't really that good.
Well, I mean, the narratives go up and down all season long.
He wasn't playing like crap.
You can never doubt that this dude is.
Well, again, Sean McDermott, you could say he was just, and Marshall Faulk did on What the Football, like he was just throwing people overboard to save himself, you know, and that Ken Dorsey was one of those guys. But Joe Brady is definitely attuned and has this thing dialed in for Allen and Cook for sure in a way that has this team looking different. Hour two coming up.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
1995, when WCW announces they're going to be live and head-to-head with Monday Night Raw, feels like this would have been something Vince would have kind of laughed off.
No, we did not like them moving to Monday nights. There were a lot of hotels. They all carried CNN, TBS, and TNT. Vince was convinced that Ted Turner had deviously done this deal to get in the hotels and keep us out.
Something to Wrestle, wherever you listen.